Acts chapter 5. The message today is the continued progression and recession of Peter's pilgrimage. Remember, progression is going forward, regression is going backward. Listen again, the continued progression and recession of Peter's pilgrimage. I want to read part of several passages to you and then seek to bring them together as we go along. First of all, chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. I'm abbreviating these readings and I will fill in, God willing, as we go along. Verse 1. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So now we're reading about a Gentile. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying to him, Cornelius, and then he tells him what to do. Now, verse 9. Now on the morrow, as they were on their journey, these friends going to get Peter, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he beholdeth the heaven opened and a certain vessel descending, as it were a great sheet let down by four corners upon the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And a voice came unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, make not thou common. And this was done three times, and straightway the vessel was received up into heaven. Now while Peter was much perplexed in himself what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men that were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood before the gate, and they tell him why they are there, and Peter goes with them. And look down at verse 25. And it came to pass that Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and findeth many come together, and he said unto them, You yourselves know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to join himself or come unto one of another nation. Yet unto me hath God shown that I should not call any man common or unclean. Wherefore also I came without gainsaying when I was sent for. And Cornelius tells him what he had seen. And now in verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. And then Peter begins to preach his sermon. Look at verse 42. And he charged us to preach unto the people and to testify that this, the Lord Jesus, is he who is ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him bear all the prophets witness that through his name everyone that believeth on him shall receive forgiveness of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision that believed were amazed, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter asked this question, can any man forbid the water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, let's see what happens when the others that Peter is associated with hear about what's taken place. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into men uncircumcised, and did eat with them. But Peter began and expounded the matter unto them in order, saying, and he tells what took place in chapter 10. Now, look at verse 17. If then God gave unto these Gentiles the like gift as he did also unto us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also hath God granted repentance unto life. Chapter 15. This is essential that I read this chapter to you, because if you read Peter preaching in chapter 2 and 3, you hear words that you would never know are to be interpreted the way Peter is telling us they should be interpreted. Please remember that when a man preaches, let him tell you what he meant when he preached. Look at verse 6. And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider of this matter. And when there had been much questioning, Peter rose up and said unto them, brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knoweth the heart, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why make ye trial of God, that ye should put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that we shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner as they. Praise God. Until we turn to Galatians 2. I spoke of the progression and the recession. Galatians chapter 2. Starting at verse 11. Paul is speaking and he says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I resisted to the face because he stood condemned. For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews And this word, and I do not know why they translate it this way, this is what it literally means. And the rest of the Jews played the hypocrite likewise with them, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live as do the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, how do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these precious passages that you've given to us. Our God, how much truth they contain, and how able are they to preserve us from having wrong thoughts about men. Men that were apostles, and those that were far off, that were not called by thy name. We desire that with the help of your Spirit, our Father, we shall be able to understand about progression and recession in our pilgrimage on earth. So bless us as we seek to expound the things of God. We look to thee for good. Undertake for us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I wish I could say that all Christians, once they start on their pilgrimage, only make progress, go forward. But I've never known any Christian who only went forward and never went backward. Some say they are that way, and I remember one man telling me that. I heard him say this. He said, I trusted Christ as Savior, and since that day, I've never committed a sin. And then I found out something later about the man that was reprehensible, the man that told me that he had only made progress, and that since he had trusted Christ, he had never sinned. Well, I find this, that Peter is making progress. The first step was when he met the Lord Jesus. He came to the Savior, and the Savior looks at him, and he says, you are Simon. You shall be called Peter. And then I told you in past weeks that finally in Matthew chapter 16, the Savior says, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Savior said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Progress. And hardly had any time elapsed before he was telling the Savior, do not go to Jerusalem and be crucified, be it far from thee. And the Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan. This is heartbreaking, to go forward and then to go backward. But there was only one man who went forward perfectly, and that's the Lord Jesus. It said that the Lord Jesus, by the things which he suffered, he made progress. And it says, being made perfect. The Savior is the only one that ever has reached maturity, has gone from step to step in his pilgrimage on earth, and never gone backward one step. But Peter went back again and again. But he made progress today for this reason. When he was preaching to those that God told him to, he is now invited to preach to one with whom he wanted to have nothing to do. How could that be? And not only so, but he was so keen in chapter 1 and 2 of Acts, being able to interpret Scripture and know the will of God, and yet he had not interpreted these words that the Savior had spoken before he went back to heaven. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, none excluding. In Matthew it said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. But Peter was only going to the Jewish nation. How could this be? He had learned about himself when the Savior called him, and that miraculous draught of fishes occurred. He said this, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Have you learned that about yourself, that you're a sinful? When you meet Christ, you're sinful. You say, but once my sins are taken away, all that was unholy and unclean about me is gone. That old fallen nature is just as bad after you are saved as before it was saved. And what happens is this, that we think, like that man said, once I trusted Christ as Savior, I never sinned after that. And he committed the grossest of sins. How sad. And now, Peter, I told you about that, having confessed the Lord Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and assured Christ that he would die before he would deny him, denied our Savior with oaths and curses, 3 times. He goes forward and he finds things about himself, but in saying, I'm a sinful man, he said to the Savior, but I'm not that sinful. And the Savior said, you are. And now, today, Peter has learned a glorious lesson, not about himself, but about the Gentiles. And it took the Lord 3 instances to impart it to Peter so he could begin to understand. 3s are prominent in Peter's life. How many times did the Lord tell Peter he would deny him? You say 3 times. When the Lord restored his soul, how many times did he ask Peter, do you love me? You say 3 times. When our Savior is giving him this object lesson from heaven, how many times did he give it to Peter? You say, this thing was done 3 times. This is embarrassing, that the Savior is doing the teaching, and he's giving an object lesson from heaven, and he does it once, and Peter doesn't understand. He does it again, and Peter doesn't understand. He does it 3 times, and Peter doesn't understand. And after 3 times, the Lord doesn't do it anymore, but it said, Peter is much perplexed. Well then, if I tell you something 1 time and you don't understand it, why should I be upset about it? The Lord Jesus himself gave an object lesson 3 times, and Peter is perplexed. But it says he was thinking about the matter. And finally, the Lord brings all events together, and this Gentile, who has been told of God to send and have Peter to come and teach him the way of salvation, he does this. And now, thank God, Peter has learned something about himself that Roman Catholicism should take to heart. Cornelius, having been told by an angel to invite Peter to his home, when Peter comes in, he falls at the knees of Peter and worships Peter. And Peter raises him up and says, stand up. He said, I myself also am a man. Tell me any time the Pope has ever been bowed to and his ring kissed that he said, stand up. I am a man just like you are. You say, but Peter did. And even though he had had great privileges bestowed upon him, he understood that he was nothing but a man. But now, he's beginning to understand something that the Lord told him, but he had not comprehended. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Cornelius is one of every creature, but he's not a Jew. He is a Gentile. Titus is a Greek. Timothy was half Greek. And what God says is, I want the gospel preached to every creature. But Peter had not comprehended this, nor the other disciples either. And so the Lord has to teach him. At least, Peter has gone this far. He's perplexed, he's thinking about the situation, but finally, when he goes into the presence of Cornelius, and Cornelius speaks to him, he says this, God hath shown me that I should call no man common or unclean. Listen to his words. God hath shown me. He didn't say three times, but God did not tell him alone, but he showed him. He let down this typical sheet with all sorts of unclean beasts and birds and creeping things. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the Savior said this, what God has cleansed, make not thou common. And God showed him that lesson three times. Now Peter finally understands. He says this, God hath showed me, 1, 2, 3 times, that I should call no man common or unclean. He understood that all of those unclean animals, according to the Old Testament teachings, were pictures of different kinds of Gentiles. And what God told him was to let them enter into your life, let them become a part of your life. And Peter said no 3 times, but he's thinking on it, and finally he understands. He says, this much I know, that God has taught me that I should call no man common or unclean, not you Italians, Cornelius and all your friends, and not only that, but none of the Greeks that I know, and none of the Syrians I know. God has told me I should call no man common or unclean. And then he goes on and he makes this statement. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Now, that is one of the greatest progressions that Peter has ever made. Listen again. He said, I perceive. God told him 3 times, and he learned, I should not call any man common or unclean, but the next step is this. He said, I perceive, I grasp, I comprehend that God is no respecter of persons. But Peter, what about the Jews? God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. Now, have you learned that much? Have you? There are different nations. Here, there are some, we used to sing it, and I'll do it this way, because you have to be socially correct today in calling people what they are. But we used to sing a song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. Now that is given for free, that little song that I gave you. Please notice, red and yellow, black and white, and so think. I laugh at this because I preach to American Indians down in Pembroke, and at times, since they know me, if they wanted to, they would look at me and say, "Pale face, we are glad that you've come down to teach us." And I could say to them, "Yes, red man, I'm glad I've come to teach you." You see? And also, I know some Orientals that are yellow in color. And red and yellow, black, I know Negroes that are my friends. And white, I know others that are white that are my friends. And we sing the song, "Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight." How great is that song? It's great because it took three demonstrations from heaven to get Peter to grasp it. He said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation." And so Peter could join in and sing that song. But what happens is this, and I'm so sad, that when crime is prominent in a certain race, there is in our hearts a prejudice, and we speak against that people, red, yellow, black, or white. I can think of the white men I could speak of against. Here are these CEOs, these white men, white-collared men, that steal millions of dollars. And I say, "He is a sorry white man." And then I read of the crimes of the blacks, and I read the crimes of the Hispanics, and we say, "Yes, it's because they are of that race." But it's not that way at all. One race is no better in the sight of God than another. There may be more crime in one race than another, and you don't know this, but the Word of God is racist. I'll tell you why. If I said this about some of you, you would run me out of town. But this is what the Word of God says. There was a man named Titus, and he is sent to a place named Crete. They were the people that he was to go and help. And this is what the Word of God said. "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." And Paul said, "This testimony is true." Now, what if he said that about your race, or about my race, or about my Indian friends down in Pembroke? What would you do? You would say, "It would be outrageous." The Word of God says it. There are certain nations that have certain characteristics, whether we like it or not, and you know it. If I mentioned the Scottish people, you say, "Yes, yes, they like to hold on to money." What about the Irish? Why, they like to fight. There are certain things that we think about certain people. And so some of the traditions are true. So what you do is not condemn all because of traits. If you were from Crete, I would look at you and say, "Well, he's a liar. He's an evil beast. He is a lazy glutton. The Bible tells me so." And so you can't argue with me. And so certain nations have certain tendencies, but God accepts them all. And all of us, having been cleansed by God, forgiven by God, I'm afraid that if we made that progress and God has accepted us, that we think that we shall not turn back, but what happens is that we do turn back. And then when Peter said, "I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation," and then we hear about a person of a particular nation that does something wrong, and we condemn them all. Another nation, we condemn them all. And then a man does a good thing of a particular nation, and we praise that nation. But Peter said, "God has taught me not to call any man common or unclean." Do you realize that the Bible says again and again, and we don't realize it, that God is the Father by creation of us all? It says in Malachi this, have we not all one Father? Has not one God formed us? Now listen to this. When Job is being criticized by his friends, he says, if my servant, here is Job, the richest man in the East, the most prominent man in the East, he said, if my servant has contended with me, and I disregard him, and I put him down, he said, what shall I do when God rises up to judge me? It says this, did not he who formed me in the womb form him? Did not one make us both? That's profound. Job saw it. He said, here is a servant of mine. But if he rises up against me and I disregard him because you are nothing but an insignificant servant, it said, what shall I do when God rises up against me? And it says this, did not God who made him in the womb make me? The answer is yes. And even those that do not believe in creation say that it all started with one thing, and we all descend from that. But Adam said it so long ago. Do you know what the word Eve means? It means mother of all living. And so if I trace my genealogy back far enough, I will come to Eve and Adam, and so will you. They go back and they get narrower and narrower, but we all are one. It says, God hath made of one blood all nations. But Peter thought that the Jews were blessed to the exclusion of all other nations. But this is what God told them from the very first when he chose Abraham. He told Abraham the good things that he was going to do. And he said to Abraham, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Grasp that. He said, I'm blessing you, Abraham. But in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Well, the time came at Pentecost for all the nations of the world to be blessed. But Peter, until Acts chapter 10, had never learned this lesson. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God hath showed me that I should call no man common or unclean. And so, therefore, whatever nationality I am, let me live to the glory of God, that they might not look upon me, because people look upon preachers and they see how they grasp at the money, how they sin against God, and they put them all in one category. But that's not true. There are many policemen that are evil men, but there are many good policemen, and God has ordained both. And this is what he expects us to do, to be good examples now that he has saved our souls. Whatever nationality we are, he expects us to be exemplary of that nationality. This is what he says. Now, I told you of the progress that Peter has made. And then in Galatians chapter 2, when certain influential Jews from Jerusalem come down, Peter, who had been eating with Gentiles, and he had told those Gentiles, God is no respecter of persons. When the Jews that separate themselves from Gentiles came down, it said Peter became afraid and he would not eat with the Gentiles anymore. And so what happened? That great progression he made has become recession, and he went backward. But thank God there was one man who had not gone back, and that was Saul of Tarsus. And he said, I rebuked him to his face. Peter had learned it. He said it in Acts chapter 10, and I've been emphasizing it this morning. He knew it, and so he was without excuse. The Lord told him that he was going to deny him three times. No, I'm not going to. The Lord had taught him three times that God was no respecter of persons, and he had known it. And he started eating with Gentiles, associating with them. But now, people that look down on Jews that associate with Gentiles have come to Jerusalem, and they said, Peter was afraid, fearing them that were of the circumcision, and he went back, and he would not eat with them any more. And so I say, have you learned about yourself that you're a sinner? That's good. Have you learned how great and permanent you are as a sinner? Have you learned what Paul said? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And I can turn against your race, and you can turn against me, and I can love you today, but what might happen tomorrow? I could be like Demas if I'm a carnal Christian. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. All those things can happen. But at least Peter knew, and God told him from heaven, and then the Apostle Paul told him face to face on earth in the presence of all the others. How embarrassing that must have been. So by God's grace, let the Lord never have to say to you, you hypocrite, because it is possible. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our God, thou dost know that all of us who are Gentiles are so thankful that you are no respecter of persons. Thou dost know that there might be Jews, and they are thankful that they are Jews and not Gentiles. We pray, Father, that your love includes us all. Have we not heard your Son say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for that love. We are glad, Father, that you started with Abraham. But through Abraham, all the nations of the earth are to be blessed, and we have been blessed as well. And so help us now, Father, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And let us love all the children of God, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.